Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
The European Commission said today that it expects permanent post-Brexit border control posts to be ready in Northern Ireland by the middle of this year. This follows the controversial decision by the DUP Agriculture Minister Gordon Lyons to halt work on permanent inspection posts on Friday. For more on this, I'm joined by Sam McBride from the Belfast Newsletter. Never a dull day, Sam, when it comes to Brexit and the fallout. The European Commission is not for changing on this one.
That's right, Cormac. And I don't think there's really any surprise there. The European Commission has been pretty consistent on this point. They basically say this is what the British government agreed to. They signed up to it in the withdrawal agreement. Therefore, it has to be implemented. And pretty much that's it. There's not very much to talk about here. The DUP obviously take a very different view to this. I think the really significant element of this story is not that the DUP are trying to stymie what is happening here. In some ways, that's what people would have expected the DUP to do. It's that Arlene Foster initially tried to let this work. She said at the start of the year, basically, or rather she said last year, there are people who would seek to fight this protocol. I don't like it, but pretty much she was saying, I accept it. I'm not in that camp. We've got to work this really pragmatically. And she was talking at the start of this year about a gateway of opportunity for Northern Ireland, trying to look at the benefits of the protocol for Northern Ireland. That has been just washed away by a sea of anger from DUP supporters, where really the party now seems to be really thrashing around, I think, trying to find some way of dealing with this. The latest way doesn't really seem terribly impressive. It looks like it will probably be reversed. But the real significance of this is that the DUP feels very vulnerable here and politically, and next year are facing the electorate at the polls.
But I wonder if the DUP believes to any degree whatsoever, to any level, that this could work. Is it simply agitating in the hope that the authorities maybe in Dublin or in London or in Brussels will take a look and say, we don't like the look of this type of agitation. It must be representative of deep-seated anger, as you say, on the ground. We'll have to look at this again.
I think there is an element of that. I think the history of the DUP is very much driven by electoral politics. There is no party in Northern Ireland, I think, which is as adept at reading where the wider unionist electorate is going. That is how they toppled David Trimble, and that is how they have stayed at the top of unionism for so long, despite any number of scandals and frustrations across unionism with some of the antics of some DUP politicians. And so, therefore, this primarily at this point, I think, is about them desperately trying to stave off electoral collapse. Mm-hmm. There was a poll a couple of weeks ago that said that they were now 1 percentage point ahead of the Alliance Party, a centre-ground party, a party that has never had any real significant power in Northern Ireland. That is seismic. They're shedding votes to the left and to the right, to hardline unionists like Jim Allister, to the much softer, not even unionists of the Alliance Party. They're in trouble, and they are desperately, really, I think, trying to say, we're doing something about this. We know you're angry. Trust us. And the fact that it might not work in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I think that's not really on the agenda right now. Mm. It's how do we stop this collapsing right now?
I wonder, is the DUP looking on the ground and hearing reports that loyalist paramilitary hard men are raising their heads and their voices again? And we know they've met with the DUP to discuss the fallout. How much of this is the DUP leadership trying, possibly unsuccessfully, but trying nonetheless, to show these hard men that they're trying to do something about it?
I think that's certainly a very significant element of this. There are people in the DUP, there are people in other unionist parties who I think are genuinely very concerned that if they can't be seen to show a political route to this, a constitutional route to opposing the protocol, that people will simply say in those communities, and particularly in loyalist organisations such as paramilitaries and other loyalist organisations, we need to go out on the streets, we need to go down to the ports, we need to put up a blockade or something of that nature. And there's a very long history of this. Obviously, once people get out on the streets, once there is a sense of people's their constitutional identity being under siege here, that is a very dangerous position to be in. And of course, in a pandemic, there's a second reason why that's dangerous. And so therefore, there is a sense, both with the court case that the DUP has now signed up to, challenging this in the courts, and some of these political manoeuvrings, I think there really is an attempt by the party to say, look, trust us, we're trying to do something. The danger, of course, with that is that if nothing comes out of it, ultimately those people potentially look at the DUP and say, you led us up the garden path, there's nothing at the end of that path, now we're going to take over.
And the woman at the helm will possibly look around and say, where will the knife come from? Do you think Arlene Foster is politically vulnerable here?
I think that Arlene Foster has really politically been mortally wounded for several years. She's in a very unusual position where she limps along. She is allowed to do that by her party colleagues, mainly because they can't agree on her successor. It's a little bit like what happened with Theresa May for quite some time, where there was broad agreement that she was a dreadful prime minister, that she wasn't able to lead her party, but nobody was quite prepared to wield the knife. We're in that territory right now. With an election coming up, I think the question is, does she last until then and get pushed out if there's a bad result? Or do they panic beforehand and say our only hope of saving our seats is to get a new leader, whoever that might be?
OK, well, she's fighting on two fronts now. She's fighting Brussels and she's fighting the coronavirus at home. There's a picture of her just on that point on the front page of the Belfast Telegraph. Look, we could talk about this for hours, but we'll leave it there. Sam McBride of the Belfast News Letter, thank you very much indeed.